just before we get cracking with this episode's guest, I want to shout out Bamp.io, the all-in-one B2B lead generation toolkit designed to automate your customer acquisition. Now, we're all busy doing remarkable stuff. That's why software like Bamp.io is super important to us, to help us manage our businesses and streamline our activities. So check them out in the show notes. All the links, all the info you'll need is in there. But now let's get on with this show. So we are back with our very special guest, our very, very special guest, all the way from the US of A, as they like it. Jacqueline, do you want to introduce yourself and say hello to the people?
Yes. Hi, I'm Jacqueline. I'm from a company called Bant. I'm located in Michigan in the US, around Detroit. Should I talk about the company or?
Yeah, please. Yeah. They should have a decent picture because you guys have sponsored a few episodes for us. So,
yeah.
Give them your words.
All right. So we are a fully distributed company. So I actually do have one Michigan mate here at the company, but everybody else is very distributed throughout the world. So we're in North America, Central America, all throughout Western, Eastern Europe, Middle East, Africa, Asia. So, I mean, we are a very, very distributed team, which is just really cool because you meet so many people, you get exposed to so many cultures. And as a company, we are a B2B lead generation solution. So we help companies basically grow their business. We are kind of a blend of an agency model mixed with technology. So our team, although we are a fully managed service, we do everything from end to end for our customers. We also rely heavily on our technology and our AI to make sure that we're making data-driven decisions. So it really is a pretty unique model and really cool because we're able to deliver really great results for our customers. So yeah, it's cool.
Awesome. That sounds great, actually. So how did you get this job with Bamp? How did you join Bamp? Have you always been in software or tech, or did you come from agency side? Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so outside of college, I actually ended up in manufacturing for a couple of years. And then from there, I did go into tech, and I was at a tech company. We developed software for about 5 years. And then when I was pregnant with my second child, I decided that I didn't want to go back to the office because I had like an hour and a half one-way commute every day to the office down to Detroit. So I started looking for something remote, and I was looking at UK job boards thinking like, okay, well, if they want to hire someone from the US, I'll never get called into the office, right? You can't commute to the UK. So I came across this job role as a customer success manager, and had an interview with some guy who was living in Romania at the time. And just all kind of transpired from there and clearly ended up working out. So it was kind of an interesting introduction to the role, the company, and all of that. We were very young at the time. This was 4 years ago. So.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, that would have been near the beginning, right? So what year did you start, Bamp start, not you? Do you remember?
Yep. So we started at the end, I want to say it was around October of 2016.
Wow. Okay. Christ. That is it. 5 years ago now. Pre-COVID times, people. Can you remember those? Heady days. Yeah.
Imagine just wanting to work remote before pre-COVID times.
Yeah.
What an insight that was.
No wonder you've done so well with insight like that and thought like so future sighted to
what happened in the next 4 years.
Yeah, well, I mean, it definitely made for an easy transition into COVID world where everyone else was scrambling to figure out how they take their companies remote. We already had it figured out, so it didn't really impact us too much from an operations standpoint.
Did you guys, not yourself, obviously, because you're your team is quite practiced at the remote, but did you see any changes with the move to remote or through COVID with the clients you work with the people you serve? Is anything, any trends or change or development in the sales lead generation world?
Yeah, quite a bit actually. So, you know, especially working in like the software marketing world, a lot where in terms of like our client base, you know, so many of those types of industries are used to offline marketing events. So just kind of, you know, traditional networking, you know, those like large events that you have in like Vegas or some of these, you know, like really big convention centers. And so those just stopped overnight and they had to figure out what they do for lead generation. So, you know, that was a big change. But then we also had a lot of customers who are in like the hospitality industry and, you know, their operations stopped overnight. And so then it was, what do we do from here? Do we stop lead generation? Do we continue on and try to, you know, look forward and act like everything's okay? So it was, you know, a lot of ramping up on one side and then on the other side, that firefighting and trying to come up with unique solutions and ways for them to, you know, not basically die as a business.
Yeah, I bet I came across, especially in the early days of COVID, the initial 3 to 5 months here, I worked with a few companies in engineering and manufacturing kind of background that were all like traditional B2B. They like to shake people's hands, go to meetings. You know, it was they all had a fleet of salesmen out on the road all the time, like real like traditional model. But initially I could see the change of them going from right, we're not doing anything, we're just going to wait it out. Right, yeah. Sit down on our sofas for 3 weeks, as we thought it was in the beginning, until the world returns, to going, okay, right, well, we can't just stop. Like, we do need to. So, but that shift of the transformation of kind of traditional sales route, traditional networking, relationship building to digital really got expedited and sped up and accelerated, I think, through these times.
Yeah. Yeah, it was an interesting shift for sure. I mean, and we did see a big impact, like you said, kind of in those first 3 months where people are like, we don't know what this means for us. We, and you know, anything that we like, you know, it's kind of like you have to worry about just the core of the business. And so any additional spending stopped because they were just worried what COVID meant for their business, for the world, for, you know, economics, just in general, that kind of initial like fear and panic. And so we did see a lot of churn in those first few months of, you know, just needing to focus all of their money and efforts on keeping the business alive. And that didn't include marketing or even lead generation at that point. And then from there, once it was like, okay, now we know a little bit more of what to expect, now we really need to ramp up because we just lost 3 months of any sales and marketing activities. And then from there, just as, you know, more and more companies go digital, it's been, you know, great for our business personally. You know, like as an executive at our company, it's been, you know, really great from like a growth standpoint, but it's also just so gratifying, I think, to be able to provide a solution to these businesses and help them grow and, you know, not just survive, but thrive in the post-COVID, current COVID world.
If you think that, you know, solutions like Bant have actually saved businesses, haven't they? You know,
yeah.
Where before they would have just gone to Las Vegas and had that meet and greet in a played on some machines and what have you. But actually, if they had just shut off the last 2 years, that would have been it. They'd have been gone by now.
Right.
So they may have had to adapt, but they needed to adapt because of people like you that were there to help them. Because it's quite a scary right. process moving into digital transformation and doing things in a digital transformative way, you know, such as lead generation.
And, you know, sales, I think, is... it's hard, I think, sometimes for them to adapt to like a lot of these changes because they're so used to like one way of working and one way of doing things and one way of finding success. And, you know, it's overnight, those strategies that you've been using for years or even like decades for some people no longer work. And they don't have like the tools and resources just to be able to figure that out overnight, but their livelihood depends on it. The company's livelihood depends on it. So it was really great to be in that position to be like, you know, anytime we got on the phone with a prospect, it's like, don't worry about it. Like, we got you. We've been doing this. You know, we've ran at that point, we were somewhere around like 10,000 campaigns that we can, you know, pull data from and just be able to deploy solutions right away. And it's not to say that you don't have to tailor your strategies for that business and for their goals, but you know, you do have to do A/B testing. It can be still a process to nail down the right approach for that particular customer. But at the same time, we do have that, you know, kind of ready-made, ready to deploy strategy and package for them that we can hit the ground running right away and then just iterate on it and refine it from there.
Do you think, you know, that here, I'm going to speak from personal experience with sales, some of the more traditional salespeople, you know, the ones who we mentioned before, who like to shake hands and stuff. Have you seen, or do you think the adoption of technology and the change in behaviors of how they, like what they understand the sales process and customer engagement to be now, has changed permanently for them through this period? Do you think anything will stick?
I think this is the, you know, just digital marketing and selling online. I think that is going to be very sticky. I do think that they're still going to want to get back into, you know, kind of those in-person meetings and those offline marketing events, because there is so much value to being and talking face-to-face with people. But you know, I think that those are different prospects. It's a different sales cycle. That's a different, it's a supplement and a complement to, you know, doing things online and doing things digitally. So I do think that as soon as things start to open back up, and, you know, we were just able to meet in person and go to an event for the first time as a company last week, we're planning to do more. So it's super exciting to be able to get back to in person and meet people face to face and have conversations. There's so much value to that. But I think that is now gonna just be a small part of their sales process.
Yeah. So it wasn't just an event, it was an awards event, right? So, yeah. So tell the people how that went. What were you up for? Did you win? No spoilers.
Yeah. So we did. It was really exciting. We were up for three awards, and we got placed for all three of them, which was great. So at three different levels. So we got the top award for customer service, which was really exciting because that's something that we really pride ourselves on is customer service. And I think what really sets us apart from, you know, any competitors in the market is just the quality of the customer success managers that we have on our team, their expertise, you know, and just that's just something that we hit really hard on as a company. And that we really value as kind of like our top value add. And then we also won an award for International Business of the Year, and then also Entrepreneur of the Year for our CEO, Andre Perez. So yeah, it was really exciting.
That's a good haul if you're bringing people together from all over the globe for an awards deal. It's good to win stuff. For a start, so yeah. Congratulations.
That's what we were saying. We're like, how embarrassing would it be if we, you know, like fly 15 to 20 people in from all over the world just to not win a single thing? So we were hedging our bets, but it worked out in our favor, and it was exciting for everybody.
Couldn't have been an expensive night out, couldn't it?
Right.
In the grand scheme of things, but I think that kind of leads me on to another part. So, you mentioned those things that you're now award-winning for, right? But I think we all know that a lot of startups, a lot of kind of tech startups and scale-ups kind of fail. There's loads of stats out there that not many make it past kind of the first year and first things like that. So as you guys are well past that now, as you're moving forward and scaling, in fact, right, what do you think the ingredients of success have been for BANT coming from the inside? What do you think are the key things people should do well?
I mean, first of all, I think that we just have a really great offering as a solution, you know, helping businesses grow, like that's not going anywhere. That's pretty, that's pretty bulletproof from, I would say, most scenarios, even, you know, global pandemics. So just having, you know, I think a product, solution, service that that has a really like strong foothold on the market is really important. Businesses are always looking to grow, and that will always be the case. And, you know, coming up with this formula of being, you know, kind of a SaaS on one hand with our technology, but then also, you know, with the extra support and the done for you model, I think has been, you know, worked in our favor. I think that our pricing, one thing that we have always wanted to do is to keep our services attainable to, you know, every business in the market. So, you know, single, solo entrepreneurs, all the way up to enterprise. So, you know, making sure that our, that we can work with any business that has any type of budget. So all of our packages, we don't have any contracts. It's all month to month. And we have a modular package. So basically it's kind of a la carte where customers can pick and choose what works for their business. So just really being flexible in our offering. And then we also offer a white label. So, you know, the ability to work with agencies and help agencies like us, in some cases our competitors, helping them grow and offering, you know, flexible pricing for that. So I think that that's really helped. And then I think one of the things too that we've come to find out is like really finding the right people, and hiring can be really difficult. And when you don't find the right people, it hurts. and so I think, you know, finding the right people who really care about the business, care about what they're doing, care about the services that they're providing, the quality of their work, you know, that work well together as a team, that's so invaluable to a business. And then I would say on the operations side, just building something that's scalable and, you know, not looking to necessarily like, you know, what you need in, you know, 5 years, but kind of, I guess, knowing what that is, but understanding that it's okay to kind of work that out in steps from a process standpoint, from, you know, the tools and platforms that you use, and but keeping in mind that what you're building needs to be scalable. And, you know, I think that we've done that really well, that when we had huge growth at the beginning of the year, almost, you know, overnight, we were prepared for that and we were able to support that growth and it didn't affect us. Where if we didn't have the tools, I guess, and the foundation to support that growth, then that could have broken us overnight too. It was kind of like a make or break moment.
Yeah, I bet it. You've got some classic ingredients in there. Ones that I'm looking at Steve, because I know people and kind of propositions, as you explained, like your offer to the market or the proposition are very very entwined with that, with Steve's world.
Yeah, very much. So one of the things that I picked up on was a really key piece, and it's actually something that you won an award in, was that customer service piece.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned customer success managers quite often, and how critical are they? Because, you know, I've been involved in tech for, I'd say, around 8-10 years now. And actually at the beginning, you know, there was tech on one side of the thing, and then there was people on the other side of the thing, and people that expect tech to do something, can tech can only do a certain amount. And actually dropping in those customer success managers in the middle is what made things happen. Because when you talk about digital and tech, and when you talk about marketing and lead generation, they're two very dark arts, people quite often think, you know.
Yeah.
How do you market? What is marketing? And then actually, what's that tech doing in the background? What's all the algorithms? Customer success managers make all that real. Mm-hmm. I think they're really important to what your model is. If, correct me if I'm wrong, but
I yeah, so really, you know, I would be remiss if I didn't also mention our campaign managers. So they both kind of operate between the technology and our clients. So they work really closely together. So our customer success managers are client facing, but our campaign managers are more, I would say, like technology and, you know, like strategy facing. And so they really work together in concert to make the magic happen, I guess you can say. So I mean, it's critical to our business. And even though our campaign managers aren't client facing, they still need those same skills, because it's, you know, their suggestions, it's their strategies, their approach, the way that they communicate what they're seeing on the back end to the customer success managers that really empowers them to be able to, you know, go to our clients with, you know, the strategies that we're using or suggestions, or, you know, trying to explain what's happening on the campaign side, or, I mean, it's really like those two teams working together that are, make it so powerful, I think.
As somebody who's not particularly worked in tech, I am the client side, the customer side. But this, the phrase customer success or customer success agent or manager or whatever is, seems to be a new one, because when I remember when I've started using technology to achieve stuff in work, like it was very much tech support and customer support, but it was there as a, to solve problems when people like me couldn't work the thing. Like it's usually user error, which we all know now, I imagine, after 2 years, but it's usually user error. But it's an interesting having that, how that change in perception of the role, because success sounds to me like you're proactively there to
right.
you know, to manage the relationship, to make sure, to ensure that I get the best out of the tool that I've subscribed to. So it's an interesting shift, that, I think.
Yeah, so I totally agree. And that's something like really interesting. So that we've thought of, and we didn't start out as tech support, but you know, our team does do tech support as well. They need to, you know, kind of know what's going on with the technology, and they work very closely with our developers to, you know, make sure that everybody understands kind of what's going on and helps troubleshoot any problems. But since we're a managed service, it's not really, the clients aren't really interfacing as much with our technology. They do, because we do have like an analytics dashboard and they can always see what's going on. So, you know, that of course there are bugs as there are with technology. So, you know, they do have to help troubleshoot that. But when I started, I was actually an account manager as my like official title. And as we kind of continued to grow, we realized like we're not just managing the account. We're not just telling, you know, trying to tell people where to find something in the dashboard. We're not just telling them, you know, where to upgrade their account or cancel their account or, you know, make suggestions on, you know, or trying to upsell them or something on, you know, other modules we have. It really, they're being consultative, and that like consultative approach really lends more to, like you said, being proactive and making sure that we're not just, you know, there to assist them when they need us, but we are really active in making sure that they're successful, their campaigns are successful, the growth of their company is successful. So I think that, yeah, that is more of a newer, I guess, terminology for that type of a job role, but it really better suits especially what we're doing here at Vant.
Yeah,
and it works inwards as well for you, Jacqueline, I take it, you know, because having customer success managers in place, they get to deal with that customer on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis, and they can actually start to understand the features that are requested to that roadmap, so you start to protect your system over the next year, 2 years.
Yeah, so we actually just hired a senior product manager over the course of about a month and a half ago. And, you know, that's something that we've all kind of been contributing to is, you know, the customer success team, our campaign managers, me, marketing, our sales team, everybody has just kind of been like throwing in what they're seeing in the market, what kind of requests that we're getting. You know, just from being users ourselves of our technology, making those requests, our campaign managers use our technology to run the campaigns, to analyze the campaigns. So realistically, although they're our team members, they are our clients. And so we've kind of just been pulling that all in, but heading into 2022, we want to make an effort to make sure that we're being even more strategic. There are more competitors in the market now than there were 4 years ago. So, you know, making sure that we're staying ahead of the curve and that we're, you know, not just being reactionary to requests and kind of what we're seeing, but that we're really being forward, looking to what the market is looking for. So that is definitely something that we're going to be doing with a lot more strategy and intention moving into the new year.
Awesome. I think that that kind of leads us on nicely, actually. But before we look at what's coming up for you guys, before we that make a nice thing to kind of round off on, what focusing in on customer success a bit, right? What we really like to get at here is there any kind of good success stories for Bant? So how you, like, any stories you can tell us, any case studies of how you guys or your platform or your services have really helped or really changed the game for one of your customers? Like, what's your best customer story?
Yeah, so I would say we actually have, there are about three of our customers, and it's kind of a similar story, but I think that it's really powerful. So one of our service offerings is white labeling. So we work with marketing agencies and we offer a white label. So that's something that we do target as a prospect of ours, trying to find agencies that already have lots of customers. And it's like, hey, we can do a lot of this for you, or maybe you're not offering this to your customers, but you know, you could be, this is like an additional revenue stream for you. You don't have to do much. But a few, like I said, I think three off of the top of my head, there could even be a couple more, but three that come to mind, that came to us as just marketing agencies looking for clients, you know, and we're just helping, them. They offer social media, or some of them offer website development or a combination of both. So some of those more kind of traditional marketing type services. And they just came to us as a direct user. So no goal or to really expand or use our services in a white label capacity. But then our customer success managers obviously saw that as an opportunity to be able to go to them and say like, hey, you know, this is kind of a missed opportunity for you guys. And why don't we start working with your clients? And so, you know, then just working together and working with them to update their prospecting and their strategy and outreach strategy, and, you know, how they can pitch this to internal users. And again, using that kind of like consultative approach. And we have one agency that I think they're up to somewhere around 20 users now through our white label. Another one, probably similar, so around like, you know, 15 to 20. And another one, I think that we're somewhere maybe around like 10 to 15 users. So, you know, just, I think that it's just so cool that we're not only like helping them prospect, but we've helped transform their business and what they thought that their business could be. And, you know, so now all of these new offerings and again, additional revenue streams, and it's something that they didn't even think of. And, you know, at the time, like we weren't even trying to do for them. So it was just, you know, some opportunity that we saw, and we obviously have the functionality and the ability to help them, you know, transform their business. And I just think that it's really cool to be able to do that, because now they're able to take what we do and help even like more businesses grow. And so it's just this almost like pay it forward type approach.
I think that's super valuable. But so both I and Steve have history and background in agency world, which I think is where it's come from. And a lot of our contacts and the people who listen to this are still in kind of agency world, and with the knowledge and experience that we have on there, like the acquisition and retention of customers in a marketing agency, despite the fact that it being a marketing agency and they're full of brilliant kind of good thinkers, creative thinkers, like people who are super good at comms, right side of it, like sometimes, you know, the conversion, the bit after that, the stuff surrounding that is difficult for people, you know, especially now in, it's so competitive, the market scene, especially here. There's, you know, in every town, every city, there's got to be, I don't know, 100 agencies, right? All offering the same thing, technically. Mm-hmm. You know, like to have that, you know, to have a tool that you know works for you, because that's could be the way you've acquired that customer, and then gone, well, remember when when through our customer engagement process, that was through this tool, you right. know. Like what a great addition to get that tangible end point.
Yeah. And as you know, like a lot of agencies also only work locally in their local market, like, you know, in terms of the clients that they work with. So this has also afforded those agencies the ability to really take on a global client base, which, you know, is also something that was like completely new to them and something that they didn't think that they wanted, or, you know, they didn't want to have to work with different time zones, or they didn't, you know, they felt like creating their local brand was really important. But I think in hindsight, they realized that it was a bottleneck to their growth. So, you know, being able to really kind of expand globally, and, you know, some of the agencies, they still do prefer to, and even our end users do still prefer to just kind of work within a smaller geography. But we also have instances where, like, you think of IT companies, and a lot of IT companies, they provide local services and they need to travel to an on-site location to be able to provide their services. But so many IT companies now, especially in a COVID world, are moving towards cloud services. And, you know, so, but a lot of them are still kind of using their old sales strategies of just promoting cloud services to their local client base or prospect based. And so, you know, even working with them and helping them understand, like, you don't have to just work within whoever's within a, you know, driving distance from you. Cloud services are, you can get, deliver that to anybody and deploy that for any organization because it's cloud based. And so even like working with those types of businesses to help them understand the opportunities is where I think we really provide a lot of value, because we just are working with so many businesses with so many different types of models across the entire world. So just having all of that visibility into all of these sales strategies and approaches really gives our team the ability to show other customers of ours what opportunities there are for their type of business.
I think it, because I'm have both sides of marketing, so the kind of practical agency side, and I teach and lecture a little bit at university, so the theory academic side of marketing, and it's classic kind of marketing growth strategy that you help with, like finding new markets for existing products and services, or helping them understand markets and maybe developing new products and service for existing markets. That's how you get to scale, right? You find more people to buy your stuff, or develop more stuff to sell to the people you have. Like, it's all tied into the work or the tools your platform has. So no wonder you're going from strength to strength.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it serves us to be able to like run, you know, campaigns longer to, you know, obviously if you're limited and you're targeting, then the campaign can only go so far. So, you know, it does serve us, but if customers, you know, aren't seeing value, then they don't stick around. And so that's something that we always have to keep in mind, especially being a, you know, monthly subscription service, is we always have to deliver value. And, you know, we don't have the benefit of having like these year-long contracts that we can just spin our wheels for several months. Our goal is to provide like regular and ongoing value to our customers.
Mm. Yeah, really good. Really good.
The data that's in the background, Jacqueline, do you help companies actually expand their reach more than they think? So, you know, where you were discussing before about their nicheness of what they're mm-hmm. thinking they can achieve in locale or inside sectors, your data can prove otherwise, surely.
Yeah. And so that's actually something that our team deals with often is, you know, we have customers that just come in and they say, you know, we just have never seen success in this market, or we just can't support this market. It's not ideal for us, or you know, they just don't think that a particular market is going to perform well for them. But we have the ability to go in and say, well, actually, we ran 200 campaigns. And out of these 200 campaigns that are, you know, for your exact type of offering, your exact type of, you know, what you're trying to achieve in terms of your, and I guess just in terms of like what they, the type of company they are, the industry that they're in, what they're going after as their growth goals, and be able to show them that we've ran all of these campaigns, and not just a small amount, but, you know, we're talking for any particular client we're taking on, assuming that most are, you know, fairly generic industries and type of companies. We do work with some niche that require a little more testing, but, you know, we have the data to show, like, if you move into this market, like you're going to see a huge increase. If you think it, you know, you might be going only after C-level titles, but did you know that if you actually target mid-level managers, that you're going to have so many more doors open for you? You're going to have an increase of response rate. And even if that's not, you know, who's typically signing the check, that the amount of people that you're going to reach, the amount of conversations that you're going to have and how those lead to close deals down the line is only going to benefit you guys. And so, you know, yeah, that data is like extremely powerful in terms of being able to help our clients understand what kind of opportunities they're actually missing out on, and like being able to show them tangibly what it is that they should be doing as a sales strategy.
See, data is exciting.
It is exciting.
Proper. I get completely geeked out on data.
It's exciting when like it's surrounded by all that good context. Right. Other, yeah. Like where it's got a point where, you know, you've made it exciting because of the ability to communicate, like to communicate, not just giving people number. Like Google Analytics is a brilliant tool, but it's just it can seem to people. I mean, I'm not super good at it, but I know some clients and people I've worked with before have looked at it and goes, I don't even know what these little things mean. Like, is that good? Is it bad? Like, you know, like, but being able to use data to tell that story, to go, look, we've ran similar campaigns for companies offering a similar service to a similar group of people, and this has happened. Mm-hmm. Right? It makes that not just an assumption, but, an educated assumption or a...
Right. Yeah, and I agree. Being able to translate the data like for our customers and, you know, even for our internal team, for our campaign managers to be able to translate that data for our customer success managers who then distill that down further to be able to communicate that in a way that our clients understand and that's, you know, convincing is really important. Because if you just go in with, you know, hard data or, you know, just numbers, it can be really difficult for people to kind of decipher and analyze for themselves what they should be doing. So I think that's also kind of where that having the expertise and taking that consultative approach really comes into play.
Have you seen, my mind's wandering now about all this stuff. So have you seen any evidence within your campaigns that now people have had to make a shift for whatever reason, we can use COVID if you want, to more using more digital tools, using more software and tech in their customer acquisition and sales processes? Has that increased or decreased kind of the effectiveness of sales or the length to closing deals? Have you seen any trends or got any beliefs about that sort of thing? Is it better now than it was? Is it easier? Is there less touch points?
I think that it could go both ways. It just kind of maybe depends on the business and what they're used to. I think on one hand, so many businesses in general, they rely so much on inbound marketing. But inbound marketing, you know, is great. Mm-hmm. Obviously the leads are warmer, you know, the sales cycle is going to be shorter. They're easier conversations to have. But you can't rely on inbound marketing. So you have to do some outbound, you have to, you know, nurture leads with it, retargeting campaigns. So in that sense, I think that it was maybe a shock to some salespeople moving into outbound marketing and realizing that that's a need for them to be able to, you know, really grow and hit targets that they might not otherwise have conversations with. And that can be difficult for some people because they're not used to it. And it's a different conversation that they need to have. It's a different type of nurturing process. It can be a longer sales cycle. So the benefit is that you're reaching more people at scale. You're having more conversations. You know, obviously that can lead to more referrals and more closed deals down the line. But, you know, it also comes with needing to learn technology. And, you know, we're one piece of somebody's sales process. So, you know, we open the conversations, but they still have to take it from there. They still have to nurture the leads and leveraging technology to nurture those leads from cold outreach campaigns. can be a learning curve for some people that aren't used to that. So I think it's kind of twofold. I think on one hand, it's like way easier. And on the other hand, especially if you're used to more traditional sales approaches, it can, for some people, it could be more difficult, but it's something I think that can easily be learned and adopted. It's just that you have to realize that the, you know, need is there and the value of it, and, you know, then be interested in actually like deploying that as a sales strategy.
You made a good point about mentoring or comparison to inbound leads and inbound, especially from a, if we focus on marketing, like inbound marketing and stuff like that. A lot of things have to go right, and you have to do well consistently, like brand awareness, content, good conversion on your website, right, for that to be effective. Right, it's really difficult inbound stuff to get inbound stuff. So you need, I think you're absolutely right that you need both. Right, you need to be able to do proactive short term sales campaign, like acquisition campaigns. Right,
the reach of inbound, Tim. You've got to have outbound at the beginning. So even like with content marketing, for example, on inbound, mm-hmm. you've got to get that article read. You've got to get that blog scenes, you've got to do some form of outbound, even if that's through PPC or right. if it's through SEO, whatever it is, you are doing a form of outbound. It's just that people don't call it that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Perception.
Yeah, it's all about perception. Marketing is still the same game as it was 200 years ago. We've just moved formats.
Yeah.
Just all unbanned now. It's all unbanned. Okay, great. Well, that was it. A good conversation. So I've got a final little question for you, Jacqueline, before we let you go about your day. So what does next year hold if you had the crystal ball, right? Is there anything kind of exciting round the corner stuff you can let us know? I know you alluded to a couple of things, but what do you hope to see by this time next year for you guys?
Yeah, so I think as in terms of our technology, we're currently semi omnichannel, but for me, really like going into a full fledged omnichannel approach is really important. And we're seeing that more and more in the market, more of what our, you know, customers are looking for, more of what our prospects are looking for, is really having all of these channels speak together. And, you know, we do that to an extent, but really like doing the just full out effort to have every single channel speak to each other and all of that data connect is something that I want to do early in 2022. And we're making strides, but we're not quite fully there. So I'm really excited about that. One of the things, I personally hate it because I hate outbound on like phone. But we are seeing more and more people wanting to interested in outbound calling as part of the sales outreach. And personally, I hate getting unsolicited phone calls. So like, it hurts my soul to do that. But it's effective. People, you know, are seeing results. There's demand in the market. So I think, you know, dipping our toes into that, we do have a kind of sister platform that can support that. So maybe integrating that and seeing how that's going to go. But it's not my top on my personal level, but again, you got to go where the data goes, right? So you can't lead with emotional decisions. You need to lead with data-driven decisions. So if that's where the market's going and that's what people want, then we got to try it out. So I think that's the other thing. And then for us, I think just growing our sales team, growing our customer success team, growing our development team, and just continuing to improve our processes, our offering, doing more research and development, you know, getting our team to be even more, I guess, like forward thinking in terms of the types of strategies and approaches we're using. So making sure that like for instance, in outreach, using custom images, using video. So incorporating that into our campaigns, which we already can do, but we still have to kind of, I guess, roll that out more across the board. We're just kind of testing it out here and there because, again, leading with the data, you want to make sure the open rates are there. You want to make sure the delivery rates, the response rates are there. So continuing to test that out and ramp that up, assuming that the data supports it. And yeah, just staying ahead of the curve, I guess, with the marketing trends. As you know, it's always changing and there's always something new in terms of a strategy or what's cool or what's going to get people's attention. And so it's just kind of constant research and implementation. And yeah.
Well, you know, it's like the metaverse is coming. Who knows?
Right. Yeah. Who knows what that's going to hold and how that's going to change things.
We'll be avatars this time next year. Won't we?
We'll all be sat here in VR next year.
Right. Yeah, wouldn't that be cool?
Wouldn't that be cool? Well, with that bombshell of technology news, I think we'll call it a day for this. But thank you very much for popping on. I know it's your morning time, Jacqueline, but it's been really good to get a first person account of the good work you're doing, the remarkable stuff you're building there. It's been really interesting. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Tim. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
No worries.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. You can find out all about Pant, as usual, in all of our show notes, in any of our social profiles, on the podcast website, all of the links, all of the good stuff, how to get a little demo, and links to all the cool free tools that Bant have got on their website, from email, there's like an email composer tool, an email finder, loads of good free stuff that you should definitely check out. But with that, we shall let you go and wish you well. So see you later.
Thank you.